Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career, and trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. My guest today is a mindset coach, speaker, and author of the book, Take the Leap. She has been featured on numerous podcasts, and she's been published in Authority Magazine, Thrive Global, Voyage Denver, and Women Who Empower and Inspire. She has reached tens of thousands through her international podcast, Mind Over Matter. Her name is Heather Hakes, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Heather, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's so fun to have the tables turned and be a guest.
That's right. Because now you have on your podcast, how many episodes do you have already? You have a lot.
This morning, I just released episode 412.
That is amazing. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm just a little bit over 100. So, but breaking 100, that was a big deal.
For sure.
You know? So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am located in Denver, Colorado. Colorado is home. However, I have lived in several other states. And ultimately, currently today, I am an author, host of the Mind Over Matter podcast, and I do online coaching for individuals. And I've also done some corporate coaching. Everything based around mindset, I truly believe, and I study it. I've experienced it. I implement it that, you know, we are the creators of our reality. And I believe mindset is everything.
Yeah. So, and I want to get to that too. And I know before we started recording, we started talking about the topic of self-doubt. And I kind of see this as being related, you know, as well. So do you want to, maybe let's start with the self-doubt piece. Kind of, if you wouldn't mind, share a little bit about, you know, how it's affected you.
For sure. So self-doubt, I guess ultimately I released a podcast on it today because I think it's something to talk about. And I think it's easy, especially in social media world, to portray that we have it all together, that we're really successful and we're killing it. And I happened to have a conversation last week with a friend of mine here in Denver who had me on her podcast. And I was sharing that with her. And it was just, it's like I gave her permission to feel it and allow it and release it because she's like, Heather, I'm so glad you brought this up. And you're talking about self-doubt because then that it makes me feel okay that I'm not the only one experiencing this. And so what I want to say about self-doubt is I truly believe even very successful people and athletes and Oprah, we have all experienced self-doubt. And for me, this is what my self-doubt looked like. It's the self-doubt, the imposter syndrome. Who am I to do this? There's already so many coaches out there. I remember writing my book. There's already so many books out there. Who am I to be doing this? And so it was these constant, this negative feedback loop and negative thoughts that were keeping me playing small. And I realized I have to talk about this so other people can wake up and go, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in feeling this. And those are just thoughts. They're not even true. So ultimately in my own personal life, I reeled on and created momentum around and fell pretty deep down the rabbit hole in self-doubt. And it was affecting my personal relationships, romantic relationships, my business, everything, because ultimately I didn't feel worthy or enough or capable. And when I brought these limiting beliefs to the light, I sat down and I did a journaling exercise. And one of the beliefs was, I can't make money doing this. And I faced it. And I was like, is that true? Well, no, it's not. I have had coaching clients. I have had money doing this. So that was the big thing. I walked myself through. And ultimately, it came down to, I had to make a decision. I either had to go, I started looking at jobs and reaching out to recruiters, and it literally crushed my soul. I was like, I do not want to go back to a 9-to-5, but I'm not making money. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And then I had a conversation with my mom, and it clicked. And I was like, Heather, you are meant to be living this, not just preaching it and helping others. And so literally, Bobby, all I did was implement and practice what I preach. And in a very short period, just a couple of weeks, by being consistent and creating those high vibe energy and beliefs and this knowing that I can do this and I am good at this and I am meant to be doing this, everything shifted for me quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. You say in a space of a couple of weeks.
Yes. Everything.
Wow. Which is exciting. Can you share a couple of those things that you did?
Sure. So yes, I have so many.
I think
that's the key. I don't believe there's one way to live our life. And so what I teach is, you know, there are so many frameworks and techniques and modalities. It's kind of like, have fun with it and figure out what works for you. But here's a couple I do.
Okay.
Number one, I went through on my phone and I have 6 different alarms throughout the day that not only is it an alarm on my phone, it's a song that lights me up. And then I have an affirmative statement. And so all I do is when these alarms go off, I pause for like a 15 second break and I say the affirmation and I think it and I say it, but I have to feel it. That's the most important part, is feeling it. And that's it. I take that 15 second break to remind me, to keep me forward focused, back on track, what I'm meant to be doing. And that was one of them.
Perfect. And now when you say that you have to feel it, because I agree with that, the affirmations don't work if you're like being a robot with it, right? I'm thinking about someone out there listening who might be thinking, okay, well, what if I'm not feeling it? How do you make yourself feel it?
Okay. So sometimes I like the saying, and other times I'm like, no, that's total BS, but the whole fake it till you make it. And if you want to get into mental programming, a very high level overview is you can consciously be saying this affirmation, which is 5% of the picture. But if your subconscious beliefs, which are 95%, if you're saying, I am wealthy, I'm abundant, but you are feeling lack, scarcity, fear around money, there's not enough, that is such a disconnect, to such misalignment. You can say it as much as you want, that 5% conscious mind, but because that 95% subconscious doesn't agree, you're going to continue struggling. You've got to create that alignment. So change the phrase, change, I am so happy and grateful now that, and fill in the blank. I love that one. That's one I got from Bob Proctor, but you have to. And part of it is kind of building that mindset muscle, creating this new belief that might be foreign to you. I understand that as well. So it is that balance of the consistency and practice until you do believe it and it becomes part of your subconscious. But if you're saying something that doesn't feel good, that you don't relate to, then find something that does.
Find something that does. The other thing that I love about what you're saying there, you called it the mindset muscle. And we talk about it sometimes as mental fitness. And it's the same as if you're going to a gym. If you go to the gym and you either sit next to the weight bench, you don't do anything, nothing's going to change, right? You know, physically, like your biceps don't get stronger if you don't lift the weight. And they also don't get stronger the first time you lift the weight. It is the practice of doing it over time where it gets easier.
And I love that metaphor. I use that all the time because I am just like you, I'm very athletic background. And you're right. I feel like I'm the personal trainer for people's mindset, because just like a personal trainer, we can talk nutrition. I can show you the weights. So in the mindset space, I can tell you how to reprogram your mind and be thinking, but you have to do the work.
Yeah.
But it's this whole, I get to, not I have to.
Yeah. You know, what it reminded me when you were talking about the scarcity and abundance, I was listening to, I'm going to a program. It's called Positive Intelligence, and I love it. It was life-changing and completely based in neuroscience. And he was talking about our decisions come from a place of love or they come from a place of fear at the root. That's what they come from. And so he was talking about recognize when you're coming from that place of fear and then asking yourself, where's the fear coming from? And like for me, and this is kind of silly, but sometimes when I'm confronted with something, like my partner and I, we were talking about something with the business and it was, I didn't have the answer to it yet. And it was like, I could feel that like, like the stress of it. Oh, I don't have the answer. And it's like, wait a minute. So I don't have the answer. Cause he said, switch it to what can you love about the situation instead? And so I thought, well, what I could love about the situation is I get a chance to discover, I get a chance to explore. And it was amazing. Just that little shift. And I know it sounds so simple, but it opens up your creativity.
Okay. So very similar. I just wrote this down to that. Do you know Kyle Cease?
No.
So he used to be a Hollywood actor and comedian. And he's kind of like, I think he describes himself as the Eckhart Tolle meets Jim Carrey.
Oh my goodness. I've heard of that. Okay.
Okay. So Kyle Cease, very similar to what you're saying. He says, when you're feeling that, I don't know what to do, or you're feeling fear, or you're feeling whatever, what he says is this is a way of confronting it so it doesn't have power over you, is say the statement or the feeling or whatever, and then you follow it with, and I love that.
Ooh.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because it diffuses it.
Yeah. I almost said, I love that when you said, but I do. Anything that takes away some of that power, some of that charge, you know? Okay. So that was one thing, the six alarms on your phone and with a song and the affirmative statement that you have to feel it. So what else did you do in those couple of weeks?
I also wrote out what I call a manifesto. It's kind of like writing a script. And so I just sat down and I wrote in present tense, which is very important. Don't put it off. Mm-hmm. One day, I wish, I hope. So I wrote in present tense, I'm so happy and grateful. And I just went through this narrative. It ended up being 2 pages on many areas of my life. You know, the mm-hmm. home that I live in, my romantic relationship, my business, my health, all of it. I wrote it out present tense and I read it before bed. So that was the last thing my mind remembered and sitting in the space of gratitude. So that was the second one, is reading my manifesto before bed.
Yeah. And so you say, it sounds like it was things you're like, because you said, I'm so happy and grateful for like all the different things, but yeah, in the present tense.
So despite, this is something Abraham Hicks talks about, despite your current circumstances, if you are focused on what you do want instead of what is. And so as an example, I currently live in a 3-bedroom townhome, but I really desire a house with a yard and a white kitchen. And so one of the paragraphs was, I'm so happy and grateful now that I get to cook meals for friends and family in my white kitchen. And, you know, I'm really descriptive and painted this picture of that sort of like a vision board, but it's right here, right now.
Yeah. And then you read that every night before bed.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got some pretty detailed images in there. Is that right?
I'm very clear. A lot of clarity. Yes.
Yeah. Now, is that clarity? Is that also important?
Well, for sure. Because if you don't know what you want, how are you ever going to get there?
Right. So, okay. So that's a good point, because sometimes people, they get busy, right? You were in the 9-to-5 grind. People get really busy and it's like, okay, I only have like an idea of what I want. What then?
Okay. So as an example, one of my coaching clients, he's very successful, multimillionaire business owner. And we're working through some things because he's just finding himself in this negative feedback loop, feeling stuck. So we're going through that. And that's one of the exercises we did one day is sitting down and writing out your goals. What do you want for your life? What do you want in your business? And, you know, he's 50. So he's thinking, he wants to start owning rental properties and he wants to spend winters in Mexico. And we went through this exercise and it was part of his homework. So on our next call, we got to talk about it. This successful businessman had never sat down and wrote out his goals.
Never.
And then he's not alone. Most mm-hmm. people don't. And so that is the power of getting it out of your mind and onto pen and paper so you can see it. And then create that clarity. What does it look like? Get excited about it. Neville Goddard talks about this in detail, the law of assumption and living from the end instead of thinking of the end, living from mm-hmm. it.
So I mean, how'd you say it? Living from?
Yes. Living from. So if you're, And this is something I have taught before I even came across Neville Goddard about a year ago. But when you think, speak, and act as if, so, you know, this is something I did when I was training for my marathon. Every run, I acted as though it was the race, and I mentally rehearsed and visualized myself running through the finish line every run, because then I felt like I've already done it. It didn't feel like this really scary goal of 26 miles and all that mental chaos you can create. But it doesn't matter the area of life when you are thinking, speaking, and acting from feeling abundant, being in love in your relationship, having the successful 6, 7, whatever you want figure business. When you are thinking that way, then you're going to take different actions. You're going to get different results.
Yeah. And the energy you bring to it is so different.
So different.
When you're talking about the marathon, it reminded me, this was, oh my God, this is 9 years ago. I had a bike trainer, you know, so on my road bike, it was a trainer, so I could ride it indoors during the wintertime. And I knew that I had a goal that year of riding my bike to the top of Vail Pass. And so I trained for that, because that's not something that you normally just say, I'm going to go ride, you know, you know. And it was interesting because I had my little playlist, and I visualized, especially like there were a few parts of the climb that I knew was going to be really difficult. And I knew like the last mile I'd be tired. And it's like, okay, how are you going to feel during this? And like, you know, physically like psyching myself up. And the song that I always played was the theme to Rocky, Gonna Fly Now. It was like, and so when I went and I rode it, that was the song, even though I wasn't playing it at the time, when I actually rode, you know, when I rode to the top, that was what was going through my mind. It was like, it really felt like I've been here before, you know, and I was prepared for it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the power of being mindful and intentional.
Yeah.
You are setting yourself up for success by doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can sound so simple, but it does work. You know, when I was in grad school, have you ever heard of David Cooper Ryder? He is the father of appreciative inquiry, and it's a whole method of how organizations change. And like, he's worked with the UN, he's worked with, you know, peace summits and everything else. And one of the things that he always talks about is like, one of the exercises we had to do was to think about, it's 20 years in the future and you're being interviewed because your business is so successful. And then you talk about how you got there, not what do we need to do, but how did we get here? And it shifts things, because now it's exciting. Now it's not a big to-do list. It's how did we get here? And it sounds very similar to me.
Something else. So remember Kyle Cease, I told you about that. And I love that. I used to attend some of his calls, and he does these weekly calls. It's called the Absolutely Everything Pass, but he calls it Kylego. And it was Kyle and then his buddy, I think Diego. So they came up with that word, Kylego. And I've done this practice actually before I did it on his calls. But what you do is kind of similar to that. You can go 90 days, 30 days, end of year, whatever it is. And when you step into that period of time and you look back and go, do you remember on March 21st when we had that conversation and we got really excited and how it all played out? And, you know, we launched that group coaching and we made 6 figures. And so you're planting those seeds of how it already happened and your gratitude and how amazing it's been. And you're just, yes, you, and that stuff comes true. That's kind of also what they call scripting, but we're supposed to be having fun. And you're right. It is simple stuff. And I think as humans, we think simple, well, it can't be simple. It has to be complicated because I have to earn it.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Can you speak to a little bit more about that? Because I think you're totally right. And especially if you go on social media, everything is no pain, no gain. You have to grind and grind. And trust me, man, I grew up on a farm. It was a self-sufficient farm. I've worked hard in my life. I'm not saying, oh, no one should ever work hard. But what is that fascination that we have with everything has to be hard?
So that's what I would call debunking myths. And here's the thing. Whatever you believe to be true is true for you. So as an example, this happened on LinkedIn recently. International Women's Day was just, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago at the most.
Something like that, yeah.
It was pretty recent. And so I posted something on there, empowered women empower women. It's not about competition. Mm. It's about collaboration. And I truly do feel that way. I come from a mindset space. I am not competing against any other coach, any other female. I know that my way of saying it will attract whoever I'm meant to work with. But you understand our conditioning, if you go way back when, that, you know, only the fittest survive. And it's been implanted in us, if you pay attention, that you have to work hard to get ahead. You have to hustle and grind to make money. But I don't believe that's true. Again, whatever you believe to be true is true for you. And I love how Dr. Bruce Lipton explains this. If you have a desire and you are struggling and efforting to get to that desire, if it's in money or your physical health or whatever it may be, if you're struggling, then it's because, again, kind of what we talked about earlier, it's a misalignment. You have a desire, but your programming, your conditioning, your belief system doesn't agree. And so the work, it's always an internal job. Kind of like, think about this, and maybe you experience this as a business owner. You know, we're taught so much strategy. You go on, you get a website, and you have to create content and funnels and build your list. And like, there's so much emphasis on the strategy of it. And I did that. I spent a lot of money doing that.
It is, but there.
Remember with the self-doubt piece, if I didn't have the mindset and the belief, which I believe is 80% of the picture and only 20% is strategy, I went off on a little tangent. I believe in that 80% psychology, 20% strategy, where we get it flipped. And so back to debunking these myths, if you believe it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard for you. If you think you have to bust your ass 60 to 80 hours a week, then you're going to have to do that.
Yeah. And you were talking about that whole, it's the internal job. And I totally agree with that. Have you ever, there's a great book, I'm looking down because it's right next to me all the time. The Inner Game of Tennis by Tim Galloway. Oh my God. One of the best books ever. I mean, it's like 80 pages long, but tremendously, tremendously valuable. But one of the things that he talks about, because he's a former professional tennis coach, and he said that he doesn't care who the tennis player is, your greatest opponent is always the one on your side of the net. Yes. Because you've got to manage what's going on there. And it was interesting too. There was an interview with Tom Brady, and I know some people don't like Tom Brady, but whatever. After they came back, when he was with the Patriots, and they came back in the Super Bowl and they beat the Falcons, right? They were down, what, 28-0, 28-3, something like that. And there was an interview and he said he had studied that book. Like, that was one of his, because he's like, to be a player, like he said, I could not believe the game was over. I had to, you know, like, and he said, I believed the whole time until that final buzzer goes, we're still in the game. And it was interesting too, because I remember watching a lot of the interviews after that game of the Patriot players. And they're like, with Brady as our leader, of course we thought we had a chance. We just had to do our job. We just had to show up. It didn't seem like there was fear. You know, maybe they didn't talk about it, but it didn't seem like they were confident, like, hey, we can do this. But that inner game is so incredibly important.
It's everything. Are you familiar with Jesse Itzler?
I think someone else mentioned that name. But I can't say I'm familiar now.
The only reason I bring that up, I'm a big fan of his. He's the husband of Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx.
Oh, yeah.
So Jesse Itzler, he's a crazy ultraman. He's run the 100-mile races. Anyway, he very recently, 2 weekends ago, and had never done it. I don't think he even like heavily trained for it, but he did the ultraman in Arizona, which was like a 6-mile open water swim. It was 100 and I think around 180-mile bike. And then like a 56-mile run in 3 days. So it's back to back. So you swim and then do part of the bike. And the next day is the rest of the bike. And then 56 miles the third day.
Wow.
And I love Jesse. And he completed it with like 15 minutes to spare before cutoff. But Jesse really proved, and that's why I love following him, is that he was in the game. He was so focused on the present moment, just the next mile, the next step, the next pedal. He was so present. And his quote that I love is, be where your feet are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the real keys to happiness too. You know, so many times we think it's the, I'll be happy when trap.
Yeah. I went through that.
And tell me about that. I have too. So tell me about your experience.
So for example, and I wrote about this in my book, Take the Leap. And that's why it all kind of just came back to me when you said that, but I used to be on vacation thinking about my next vacation.
No.
Oh yeah. That 100% happened to me. And then I was like, I'll be happy when I get promoted at work. I'll be happy when I'll you know, I get engaged, or I'll be happy when I get a bigger house. And then I got all these things and I still wasn't happy. And that was kind of my big wake up call. Heather, you have everything that is supposed to make you happy. A good job, you own a house, you get to travel, you're engaged to be married. I had all the things and I wasn't. And that was my big wake up call. And I've been into personal development and studying this stuff. Honestly, I've been reading it since I was in my teens, but it was my big wake up call when I was 30, which was just 6 years ago, that, yeah, that I'll be happy. You're going to be chasing this never ending target.
And it, to our graves.
Yeah. It's a trap.
It's a huge trap. When you had that epiphany, like, which is good for you, because a lot of people don't have that epiphany. You know, they spend their whole life that way. What do you think it was? Like, what made you realize, like, wow, I'm in a trap here?
It was almost, I think the question I really asked myself is this it? Mm-hmm. I just believe that there had to be more to life. There had to be more to life than dreading Monday, cheering on Friday, week in and week out for 40 more years until I could retire and then live the quote good life. And I was just like, this American dream is not my dream. And so that's actually when I hired my first coach through the Tony Robbins and kind of went down that path for a while, which that was part of my journey, but that's also so much masculine energy, that driven strategy do. And I definitely have moved more into the spiritual, the flowing, the more being rather than doing. And I ultimately learned how to tune in and follow my intuitive nudges.
Has that been the biggest shift for you?
I really think so, because, you know, it's so easy. And again, we're conditioned. Conditioning comes down to a lot of our issues. We're conditioned to seek externally in a book, in a course, in a seminar. And then it's always chasing, but it's kind of like literally the answers are within. If you can create the quiet space, meditation, being in nature, journaling, every answer you seek, you will be given guidance. You will be told what to do. And that was the big one. Oh, I had so much fear to quit my job. And it took me a few months, but ultimately I did. I followed that intuitive nudge that I was meant to be doing something else that filled up my soul, that felt, you know, I was passionate about and on purpose and fulfilled. And I took that leap of faith and ended up with a 6-figure payout from my job, which I found out after I quit. And I'm not an anomaly. I've heard this many times from many other people in similar situations. And so I just want to emphasize, have faith, jump, and let the net appear. You will always be taken care of. The resources you need will always come.
Yeah. So tell me more when you say intuitive nudge, tell me more about that. And then I want to hear more about that last bit too, with the safety net appearing, but tell me more.
So I think for each person, it's going to be different, but your intuition is very much a whisper. It's quiet. It's very calm. It is peace. Where your fear and ego is very loud, very chaotic, creates, you know, like stress and anxiety and in chest and breathing. And you know the difference between peace and calm, feeling and flow and chaos. You know the difference. And even, I mean, I've had little things. Here's an easy example. I used to work out at 24-hour fitness and I have two pretty close to me. And for whatever reason, I didn't want to go to the one closest to my house. I wanted to go to the other one. And literally as I was driving there and I just learned to follow them, but I had a nudge, Heather, turn right, go to the one closest to your house. But remember, I didn't want to, I wanted to go to the other one, which is more kind of like the social gym. So I took a right and I went to the one closest to my house, ended up meeting a guy that day and we went on a few dates. And so it was just like, you just follow those nudges. Or, you know, it's simple things like maybe I'll get an idea and something will pop in my head. And for me, it's even like seeing insects or animals kind of pop up quote out of nowhere. And I will go on and Google what is the symbolic meaning of a praying mantis or whatever the object may be. And there's always a message for me. It can also come, have you ever listened to a song a million times, but out of nowhere, a line or a chorus pops out and just hits you different?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So your intuition will, however you need to hear it or see it, it could be a billboard message. It could be, you know, an out of the blue. I've heard this before that people will be at a bookstore and literally a book falls off the shelf. So, but that person took the nudge. I want to go to Barnes and Noble today. I'm not sure why, but I want to go to Barnes, you know?
Yeah. So just following that.
It's a feeling. Sometimes it is kind of words are not a voice for me, but
tune like in. A feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminds me, because you were talking there about it whispers and that, you know, it's very, very quiet. I had a guest on, it was almost a year and a half ago now, and Doug Scott, and he was talking about finding his calling. And he said that, you know, God is always talking to us, or the universe, whatever you happen to believe, it's always there. It's just, are we too busy to listen? And to me, it's the same thing with the intuitiveness, right? If we're just in such a rush, if we're so overprogrammed, if we never have the quiet space, we can never listen. We can never tune into it.
Well, and I think that's what our free will is. Our free will is to go out and do what we want. You're right. It is always there. And some refer to it, and like in A Course in Miracles, they call it the Holy Spirit. The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit can't step in and provide that guidance for you unless you allow it. You have to open the door, give it permission, ask for help. And sometimes I do that. My mantra is show me the way. Mm-hmm. And that's when I just sit and surrender. And I'm like, okay, I'm tired of the struggle. Show me the way.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have to create that space.
How does that relate to what you said a little bit ago too about trusting, you know, taking the next step or the leap of faith and trusting that the net will be there?
Man, I just, well, as that example, when I quit corporate, remember, so I quit corporate, it was like June 2nd of 2017. Pretty sure that was this specific date. And I had had the feelings, honestly, I guess for most of my 20s, I complained to my parents. I felt like a groundhog, a hamster on a wheel, groundhog day in and day out. I just felt like that. But by the time I wrote my resignation letter, I think in March, because I was waiting for our annual bonuses to hit, because I wasn't going to walk away from that.
Yeah. Why would you?
I wasn't in a rush, but I think it was little trinkets along the way. Because even I got this nudge, it was probably April. I really wanted to go to Bali for my yoga teacher training, 200-hour yoga teacher training. And it was going to be a 4-week trip. And I knew I didn't have 4 weeks vacation that I could use for a single event. And I booked it in April. And it wasn't until it was May. I remember it was a Thursday afternoon and I just got some stupid email from my boss. And that's when I was like fed up, hands in the air. I quit, called my friend Jay Ray. I was like, I'm doing it. Walked down his office, scared shitless, like sweating, shaking. And I just did it. But, and then after the fact is when I found out, you know, the reward, but
wow,
it was little things along the way. And I just kept, you feel them. Like, for me, I kind of feel it in my gut or kind of my heart, or it's like this nagging feeling. Mm-hmm. That thing is going to be nagging until you just freaking follow it and listen to it and tune in.
Yeah. And do something like,
yeah,
it is hard, you know, because the other thing too is sometimes maybe things don't work out exactly the way we thought they would. Right. But does that mean that it's bad? Go ahead. So, I can see you react to that.
Yeah. I have a quote. I'm like a walking quote book, but it's funny you say that because it was just a few weeks ago, my mom sent me a YouTube link and I watched the video and that's exactly what it said. What if life doesn't work out as you plan? Mm-hmm. What if it works out even better?
Even better.
And I was like, dang. So yeah, I mean, have this idea of your home or relationship or job or finances. And then I do sometimes follow it, you know, it's this or something even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we come from a very limited perspective and there are infinite potentials and possibilities for us out there. And so, yeah, have an idea of what you want or even better.
I like the even better. I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. Our vision, our dreams, they are very much constrained by our present knowledge, you know, and our present circumstances. So if we learn something new, that means that our vision and our dreams could also get even better.
Right. It's kind of like up-leveling. And even, you know the saying, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. But think about it. If you get out of your ready for it comfort zone,
yeah,
and you put yourself with other people. I love the saying, and I don't know who says it, but if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Oh, yeah.
But try new things. Hang out with other people. If you're hanging out with people stuck in their 9-to-5, you're going to keep complaining about that. Go to network events, hang out with entrepreneurs, see how they're thinking bigger and being creative. And who knows, maybe a collaboration can come out of that.
Yeah. Or just a new idea,
right?
Anything, just a shift of energy.
Yeah. And the big thing is find somebody out there, find evidence of what you want, because now you've created possibility. You've created, oh, well, if Sarah Blakely is a self-made billionaire because she just wanted to literally support women. And, you know, she had no business background, didn't know what she was doing, no marketing experience, nothing. And she is a self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
So if Sarah can do it, so can you. This is the whole 4 minute mile rule. You know that.
Oh, Roger Bannister. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody believed it was possible. He went and did it. And then how many people within, I think, a 2 week frame did it? Because
two more people
in two weeks. Yeah. Now they created, it is possible.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Before he did it, people thought, you'd die. Your heart would literally explode if you ever did it. And now it's like, yeah, that's the standard. You know,
yeah.
I love that though. Find evidence of what it is that you want to create.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something to be excited about. So this is okay. So one, I wanted to make sure we cover this too, because one of the things I wanted to ask you about was one thing that you said to me was thoughts create feelings, which lead to our actions and inactions and ultimately results. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Okay. Yes. I preach that all the time. This is what I call the thought cycle. And remember, it's about simplicity, and I'm very visual. So I create a lot of how-tos and diagrams. So it's literally a four-step process. And think of it like if you're drawing a rectangle, this is the upper left corner. So the upper left corner are your thoughts. Your thoughts, and then I draw an arrow to the right. Your thoughts create your feelings and emotions. Then I draw an arrow down. Your emotions and feelings lead to the actions or inactions you take in life and ultimately your results. And so what I do is, especially like from a coaching perspective, this formula works in any area of your life because everything starts from thoughts. But if you currently look at results in your life that you're not satisfied with, your health, work, career, business, all the different life buckets. If you sit there and go, yeah, I'm not where I want to be. Okay, reverse engineer, back it up. What actions have you been taking? And this is when you can pay attention to procrastination, self-sabotage, numbing out, avoiding, whatever it may be. Here's an easy example. If you're 60 pounds overweight, well, you can realize that, well, the actions are you're stuffing your, so you've had negative feelings and emotions, not worthy, not enough, whatever your actions, you're stuffing it, right? So you're stuffing them down rather than, because you don't want to feel them. You want to feel full. So how do you do it? You stuff your face.
Yeah.
And then backtrack that even more. Well, what thought triggered that whole cycle?
Yeah.
And this is a lot of awareness. It's a lot of self-compassion. It's having grace. And then it's deciding, making the choice and the decision that you want a different reality.
Yeah.
And that's how it gets into consistency and habits. And this becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah. I love that. I also love what you say there about the self-compassion, you know, the empathy towards ourselves. I've been certified in emotional intelligence for many years, and I was doing a recertification course. I think it was in November. And I took the assessment again. And then my coach was debriefing it with me. And I score very high on empathy, always have. And she asked me, she's like, how often do you direct that empathy towards yourself? And that was like a slap in the face. Cause it's like, not nearly enough. You know, I love that notion of extending grace to ourselves because we deserve it.
Well, 100%. And trust me, I can be my own worst critic.
Yes.
But I can also be, you know, I think we're seeking cheerleaders outside of us, that I want to be praised for my mom or my dad or my partner or whoever. But no, like it's an inside job. And so, okay, I'll just tell you this. I got myself one of these little bells. I actually got the, So I got the idea after watching Selling Sunset on Netflix. And so every time the realtors close a big deal, they get to ring this big bell, like that's celebrating things. So
yeah.
I got myself this little bell and I celebrate little things like a new subscriber on YouTube and I'm ringing the bell, and, you know, a new coaching client or engagement on post or whatever. I'm constantly celebrating.
Yeah.
Cause I think we forget to celebrate the little things. And it's like, it's all the little things that add up to the big things. So, you know, I think that has helped me to be more of my own cheerleader instead of a critic.
Yeah. You know what you're talking about there too? I love that. I've been reading a bunch of books on happiness written by some different researchers because they've really been studying this. And that is one of the things they talk about. Most of us, especially the more of a high achiever you are, the more you forestall or, you know, you put off celebrating until you hit the big win. But the human brain is really not wired for that. The human brain needs those small hits along the way. So ringing that bell, and I love it. You know, you said one, a new subscriber or engagement on a post. I love that because that's motivating. It keeps us going. I love that. So this has been fantastic. If someone wants to learn more about you, your book, your podcast, what's the best way for them to, or tell us a little bit about those things and how can they, you know, learn more?
Sure. I think the best place to start is simply my website, which is heatherhakes.com. And there I have links to all the social platforms, but I do have a YouTube channel. I love Instagram and my podcast, Mind Over Matter.
Perfect. Perfect. And I'll put those links in the show notes as well as a bunch of the, you referenced a whole bunch of different people and stuff. So I'll try to get those in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, Heather. This has just been amazing and tons of value. So I think we could talk about this all day. I really do.
Oh, I nerd. Yes, I nerd out. And that's why I love podcasting. Like this is the platform I meant to be doing this. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation and that you had a lot of takeaways from it. Here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, self-doubt keeps us playing small. This one really connected for me as it ties to what I've learned about PQ, or positive intelligence. Neuroscientists have shown that we all have internal saboteurs. In fact, there are actually 10 saboteurs. Now, the good news is that most people only have one or two that are really strong. But each saboteur works against us in different ways. They create stress, frustration, and doubt. The good news is that you can learn to weaken their influence so that you can truly live out your full potential instead of playing small. Now, I don't want to go down that path right here, right now, but if you're interested in learning more about that research and how you can learn which saboteurs you have, please send me an email at bobby@unyielded.net, and I'm happy to share a link where you can take a free assessment. It's a really cool assessment. It tells you which saboteurs you have and how they're likely sabotaging your efforts. So insight number two, write your personal manifesto and read it before bed. I really loved this one from Heather. And if you do this, make sure that you also write it in the present tense, as she said. And finally, insight number three, it's an internal job. The vast majority of our success and happiness stems from our mental fitness and the internal work that we do. Happiness researchers have identified that our happiness is attributed to 50% our happiness set point, 10% and only 10% to our circumstances. 40% is tied to our actions and our attitudes. That's a huge opportunity. 40%. This doesn't mean that we need to, you know, merely think happy thoughts. What it means is that we need to do our job to build our mental fitness just as we would our physical fitness. So that wraps up today's episode. Thanks for listening and for sharing this podcast with others. I really appreciate it. And by the way, if you're listening on your iPhone and you have a minute, maybe you wouldn't mind leaving us a quick review and a rating. I'd appreciate that as well. I hope you have a great week and make sure that you thrive no matter what.